You know, I was a little nervous before most of you came in because Jack has taught up there at the college, and so we see each other at the Bible college, and I've never seen him in his natural habitat, and I didn't know if I was supposed to wear a tie. You know, some Calvaries wear ties. I own one, and it's a nice one, and I see a couple of ties, and so God bless you guys. So you never know, and you're taking your chance if you just dress, you know, some other way. But so I'm glad there's a few ties, and that's cool. I feel a little better. I go around, well, really around the country, and I talk about strange things. And when you do that, you have to keep your sense of humor. You have to do it. This stuff is not funny. And when I joke about it, I don't joke about it because I don't want you to take it seriously. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. I joke about it so that you will remember certain parts. I'll throw the joke in just right so that you'll remember that part when you're out there witnessing. If you have your Bibles, let's open our Bibles together to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Now in 1 John, chapter 4, I'll take a look at a couple of different scriptures, but let me give you a second to get there. If you come to 2 John, go left. I'm used to working with Bible college students, so forgive me. So. Are you there? All right. Good. That's fast. Good. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we bow before you. We look to you. We want to listen to you. We want to learn from you, Lord. Help us to do the things that you've called each one of us to do. Give us everything that we need, whatever it might be, the wisdom, the courage, the strength, whatever, Lord. This is your word. We continually ask you to open it to us. And so as you speak, allow us to hear. And then, Father God, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. We ask you, we trust you, and we look to you and listen to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 John, chapter 4. The end of chapter 3, verse 24 says this, "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby," or this is how we know, "that he abides in us, by the Spirit which he has given us." If you are born again, and if I am born again, then we have the Spirit of God. He has given us His Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, not it. I catch myself going, yeah, the Holy Spirit, it told me today. No, God, the Holy Spirit, He. And you have the Holy Spirit. Are you born again? Then you have the Spirit of God. Now listen, immediately following that, remember, God didn't number these. So there's not necessarily a break here just because we have a break in chapters. Listen to the very next verse. "Now, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Don't believe every spirit. You have the Spirit of God. And you know it's true because you've accepted Jesus. And if you have accepted Jesus, you have God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling you, living inside you. Now, don't believe every spirit. So when you turn the radio on, you have just a few seconds to decide whether that lady pastor is really right on or not. She's going to say something, you're going to go, I don't know, I better, you got to test that. How are you going to test it? Well, it's the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in your life, and the Word of God. True? I'll show you that in a minute. I kind of got ahead of myself. But he goes on talking about how do you know. He reminds us in 1 John 4:4, "You are of God. You have overcome them, the false spirits, the false prophets, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They're of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world listens to them." Now listen closely. What I'm supposed to do tonight and next week, I guess it's 2 weeks. I don't know. Maybe you're working off some kind of punishment. Is that right? 2 weeks straight? There are three people in the back scared of the other going, that guy. I was born with this face. You'll get over that. It's all right. I deal with the Satanists and I deal with New Agers and we debate. And the different cults, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Satanists are great. They wreck your car up big time, though. If you like win on stage, they tear things off your car. And they put curses on me. But I was born with this face, okay? So you'll get over it. Now look at verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. That means pays attention to, takes heed to, listens to us. He that is not of God does not take heed to, pay attention to, listen to, does not or heareth not us. Now look, if you're a Bible underliner, great place to underline. Ready? Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I'll say it in English. This is how we know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How? Because the person or the one that is of God will listen to the things of God. And the one that is not will not listen to the things of God. I start out with this verse to show you that yes, as a matter of fact, it may seem cold. It may seem unloving. But it's not really to tell you that there is a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. And they're separate, and they're not the same. That's what I mean by separate. They are not the same thing. And you, Christian, have a responsibility to recognize the difference and to follow after the truth, the Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit. You say, why is he dwelling so long on this? Let's talk about the cults, dude. Well, I'd stay on this for a second or two because I want you to understand that the church is so easily taken in. Someone comes along and says, you're a little God. You go, yeah, I sort of like me. I can see it. You're not a little God. I don't know you personally. I mean, it's nothing personal. You're not a little God. I'm going to show you that in Scripture. In 1982, I was young. I'm 97 now. Pastoring a small church in 1982 in southern Arizona, where it doesn't snow. Praise God. I teach up at the Bible College now, and it snows. A full-page ad in the Sunday paper. Full page in 1982, April 25th, 1982, Sunday. I had to hurry and get to church. Small little church. And the ad said, the Christ is now here. I thought, how did he get past me? What Christ? Who put this in the paper? Now, as a pastor, and your pastor would say amen to this, the first thing that crossed my mind was, how much did it cost them to put a full page ad in the paper? When you're in a ministry, you think the spiritual thing's right off. It must have cost a fortune to put that in the paper. A full page ad in a major newspaper, full page is big. The Christ is now here. I knew Jesus wasn't here. And so, obviously, there's some questions that would pop in your head. First, what did this cost? Second, who is he? Wonder what he looks like. Wonder why somebody thinks he's the Messiah, the Christ. I called the LA Times, and I said, I'd like to know, could you tell me how much it would cost me to put a full-page ad in the newspaper? And the lady says, well, sir, what kind of ad? I said, well, no, it doesn't matter. Really, what I'd like to know is, what would it cost to put just like a full-page ad? She goes, well, you have to be more specific. I said, okay, how about like just a full page? And she said, well, no, what kind of ad? I said, I don't have one in mind. Really what I'd like to know is what would it cost if I had one in mind? And we're going in circles here. Sir, who is this? Well, it's Bob. And I usually spell that backwards. Now, does that matter? What I'd like to know is, what would it cost me to put a full-page ad in your paper? Sir, you'll have to talk to my supervisor. I'm thinking, I'm in trouble. I called to find out what it cost to put an ad in, and I got to explain my birth certificate and everything to do with my family. It was difficult. Anyway, finally I got to some person. Maybe she was born again. She felt sorry for me. I said, all I want to know is, what would it cost me to put a full-page ad in the paper? LA Times. She said, $70,000. I said, no, I don't want to buy the paper. I just want to, like, put the thing. She said, $70,000. I said, whoa. Well, you know, I think this is a nonprofit organization. She said, oh, that takes the price down tremendously. I'm going, oh, praise the Lord. How much? She said, oh, that's only $60,000. $60,000. American money. A full-page ad. The ad was in over 20 major newspapers around the earth, LA Times being one of the least expensive. So to put that into figures where you can grasp it and I can grasp it, they spent over $1 million in one day to tell the world that Christ is now here. Now, wouldn't you want to know who he is? And so, this is kind of like, you know how God will get you? You're just minding your own business. You're saved by grace through faith. All you want to do is like, just get to heaven. That's all. I don't want to be anybody. I don't want to bother anybody. I'm a pastor of a little church and we have 40 people and that's fine. And if it grows to 41, there you go. But God had another plan, and now I can look back and see the plan, and I'm glad he didn't tell me because I would have said, I can't, I have to work. And God set me out on a journey to study this information. And I didn't know I was going to do it. And there have been times when I have literally tried to back out. I don't want this anymore. Lord, the people that study this get so weird. So I started weird, and there was no place to go from that, I think is what God was trying to communicate. You know, I began a study of what we call the New Age in 1982. The first book on the New Age didn't come out until the 83s. Now, is there anybody in the room that has never heard of the term New Age? I met one person about 4 weeks ago doing this who raised his hand. Is it bad? Usually. Because this is the 1990s, most every one of you has heard of the New Age. Some of us were studying about it before it really became popular. You know, before I get into their basic beliefs, here's something for you that God will do. He'll do it for you, because the reason he uses me is so that you'll feel better about you. I know. He will use anybody. And my study, those questions about the New Age, led me into a study of the New Age. And the study of the New Age led me into a study of the cults. Now, I'm not an expert on the cults, and all of a sudden I'm going around the country debating Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, you get on stage and each of you shares your ignorance and the crowd applauds at the perfect kind of ignorance. And Mormons, I'm debating Mormons, and Christian Scientists, you know, they're the ones that say, I'm not really here. I'm not here. I'm not suffering. I don't know what your problem is. We're over there. You're weird, dude. And you get the questions from them. You know, you're on the stage, and you're saying, Jesus says he loves you. And they go, do you understand psycho-cybernetics? I don't do nothing I can't spell, man. Leave me alone. People say, well, you're ignorant. I know. That's the good thing about this. All of us could do this. And you know, my study of the cults led me into a study of the occult. And that's really some weird stuff. And there I find myself then going around debating Satanists and the witches and the warlocks, the shape changers. They turn into werewolves, they say. And I'm sitting on the stage with these people. And I'm thinking, Lord, okay, you've had your laugh. Okay, funny. And you better sit down for this next one. Oh, you are. Okay, so my study of the occult led me into a study of government. Isn't that weird? Now, I know some of you know full well what I'm talking about because I can see it in your face. You're going, well, absolutely, it makes perfect sense. It does. If you look around the United States today and see what's going on, doesn't it? Because to reject God is to be a Satanist, no matter what you call yourself. And that sounds pretty cruel, but you're going to find it's true. I got an opportunity once to tell a group of almost 500 people. There was a panel, there was a Catholic priest, there was a psychologist, you have to have those psychologists, there was a deputy sheriff, and then there was a lady who ran a hospital, and then they got me in there as a token Protestant, I think is what it was. I'm not sure what a Protestant is, but I think I was that. And here we are, and these people out here were discussing satanic crime. There's a psychologist telling you how to deal with the people. There's the police person telling you what he sees, although everybody says there's no such thing. And I just said, how many of you here have asked Jesus Christ into your heart? That you know you have asked him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And out of a group of near, 400 to 500, somewhere in there, hundreds, maybe 20 people raised their hand. I said, the rest of you are practicing Satanism. You ever get a chance to do that in that big of a crowd? It's a kick. You're going to get a few questions. There is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error, and I think you and I need to understand that we must recognize they are different. The New Age movement has crept into the church, into the faith teacher's teaching, and you see it there. It is absolutely New Age teaching. I've been studying this a long time. I'm not insulting them nor condemning them. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm going to give you, and I better hurry because you're talking too much and we're taking too much time. I'm going to give you what I have boiled down to what I call their basic belief system, because the New Age is broken up into denominations just like we have. And so where we have might have a Baptist and a First Church Apostle Paul Wonders and Signs Following and a Calvary Chapel and whatever else we have, Methodist, Lutheran, etc., they have also broken into little groups. And sometimes I'll go, will you believe this? They'll go, oh, well, no, I'm part of the group that believes that over there. So what I've had to do is boil it down to like a lowest common denominator kind of thing. Well, I hate math. And I'd like to show you why I'm a Christian. And I'd like to show you, no matter what you believe, I'd like to show you that God's Word, the Bible, is absolutely against every teaching of the New Age. Now, the teachings have crept into the church, and we're going to have to crept them back out. They've got to go. We can't play with those. We need to stay away from Deuteronomy 18. God specifically tells us some of these things are abomination. He gives us a list there in Deuteronomy 18. You remember? Stay away from them. Let me start out with just basic belief number one. I'd like to show you what they believe and then show you what God has to say. The New Agers, across the board, no matter what else they think, have a belief in what they call God immanent. Let me say that in English. God within. They have a belief that everyone is born with God within. We all have God within. We were born that way. And when we recognize that spark of divinity inside us all, then we will become what they call enlightened. Matter of fact, you'll become a point of light. All you have to do is recognize you have God within. That spark of divinity. A point of light. Now, President George Bush, speaking down there in Florida around in the early 1990, middle 1990, said that we would create a new country. We would put things together so well that we would all become 1,000 points of light. What was he talking about? That Christian president. Well, some say he didn't know. What he was talking about was a New Age term called enlightenment. All of us have God within. Is that true? Do we? Major teaching of the New Age. Listen to this. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Did you hear that? Where are Jesus and his Father before that time? If a man love me, Jesus said to him, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What is he saying? We're not there now, but we would love to be. Revelation 3:20. Behold, Jesus speaking, the resurrected Jesus Christ, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. What is Jesus saying? I'm not there now, but I'd love to be. We tell people, as a believer, I tell you, if you never have asked Jesus into your life, into your heart, you can tonight ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. If you are not a Christian, you were not born with him there. But he will come in and would love too. The false teaching is that we all have Christ within. You know, just because you're born in America doesn't make you a Christian. Just because your cat has kittens in the oven doesn't make them muffins, you know? You were raised in a garage, you're not a car. But that seems to be a belief that's even trying to sweep across the church. Do we all have God within? Not according to God Himself. Can we all have God within? Oh, absolutely. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, Jesus didn't come into the world. 17 and 18 go on to tell us He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Don't forget, Jesus loves people. Another major teaching of the New Age, it goes along with point number one. If you've got God within, then obviously the next major teaching is going to follow. It's logical. They have a belief in the divinity of man. Men are little gods. Shirley MacLaine standing there on the beach. Her teacher David sitting there in the sand. And she said, well, who am I really? I mean, does anybody really know who they are and what they're all about? David said, yes, I'll tell you who you are. You're God. You remember that? She goes, right, yeah, me, God. You are, you're God. Say it. I'm God. No, really, say it like you mean it. I'm God. You got to say it like you mean it. So she stands there yelling at the ocean, I am God. And what happened? She believed it. Now you can pay her $300 to $500 for a weekend. And she'll teach you. Here's a quote from the seminars that she does on the weekends. You need to recognize that you are God, and then you need to act accordingly. Recognize that you are God and act like it. Now, wait a minute. That's $300 to $500 for Shirley to tell me that, and I can get it free from the faith teachers. That is an absolute occultic teaching from the dark side. You are not a little god. Belief in the divinity of man. Now let me read to you something that right directly from God's Word. I love this. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Don't you like that? Are we little gods? Not me. And as a father pities his children, God pities me and you. And you know what? He knows our frame. He created us. And he remembers that we are dust. How about this? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are we little gods? No. We come far short of the glory of God. How about Romans 7:24? Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Did he think he was a little god? No, he recognized everything about him. He said, I know that within me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He didn't understand it like Shirley understands it. You're not a little god. I love you. But you might as well get used to the idea. You may have God, the Holy Spirit, living in you. But you see, you have to understand, you are not divine. I am not divine. Oh, I'm a fun guy. But I'm not divine. It's a false teaching. It's humanism at its best. See, humanism ends with me. Self is all that matters. That's not of God. As a matter of fact, even to believers, what does Jesus say? Any man that will come after me, let him deny himself. I think if he would not have said that, I still wouldn't have thought of it today. What about you? God himself hadn't said that I need to do it, even as a believer, I'm not sure it would cross my mind. It takes God himself to say, you need to deny yourself, because self usually becomes all that there is. And that's all that this is about. They have a belief in the divinity of man. How about this one? Number three is usually where I get the most trouble. Talked to someone last week who disagreed with me. Trust me, disagreeing with me is no big deal. Agreeing with me gets you nowhere, because I'm nobody. So it's not agreeing with me or disagreeing with me that's going to be key to this whole thing. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now listen to this. This is usually where I get hassled from the Christian community. This third belief. The New Agers have a belief in what they call the law of rebirth. To you and I, that is the law of reincarnation. I want you to understand, reincarnation has become, or is starting to become, accepted by the church. And many church people are fighting me on this. Because I believe, according to Scripture, that you can only have one or the other, resurrection or reincarnation, and you can't have them both. And the Bible, I think, is absolutely clear on resurrection. So I don't believe that you're going to go back in history past the Council of Trent and find that reincarnation was in there and somebody sneaked it out, like people are teaching nowadays. Reincarnation, by the way, is from the Far East. It's not Western thinking. It's the Far Eastern thinking. And of course, there's no such animal. But the way the Far East teaches it is simply this. You could come back as a kumquat, a grasshopper, a paperclip, or your grandmother or something. You could. So they don't eat cows in certain places. It could be one of your relatives. It's true, isn't it? Holy cow. But the West, people in the West are too educated for that kind of thinking, aren't they? So people in the West would not buy that kumquat stuff. People in the West buy reincarnation according to their terms. And people of the West, the reincarnation the West is teaching is you always come back as somebody else. You don't come back as animals or trees or bugs or things. Come back as somebody else. And it's amazing to me that you always were somebody special. You weren't just the nothing like I am. You were something. Shirley MacLaine says she was Mary, the mother of Jesus. She says she's been born again 10,000 times. Teenagers. Are your parents really dopey? You know how parents are. I mean, how did they have you? I mean, they're just not very smart. Kill yourself. See, kill yourself, and you can go back into the spirit state, and then you can choose better parents. Is your IQ low, teenagers? Kill yourself. Come back with a higher IQ. You hooked on drugs? Can't get off them? Then commit suicide. You'll come back. Do you understand that the teen suicide rate is skyrocketing and it was high to begin with? Because they are falling in for the lie that reincarnation is real. Is it real? No, you're not coming back. Nothing personal, but you ain't never been here before. You got nothing past. And you will not come back, not in this condition. According to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There's a word in there that nobody wants to accept. And it was even in there before all the councils. The word once. Did you see it? And as it is appointed unto men once to die. How many times will you die? How many times will I die? That's plenty, isn't it? If you do it right. But don't forget the last part of this simple little verse. But after this, the judgment. You will not come back to get a better shot at it, to get a better deal, to get a better set of parents, to get a better lifestyle. You're not coming back, and neither am I. We will once die, and after this we will stand before our Maker. It's a lie that the world is buying into, and now the church is starting to go for it too. The lie in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3. There is no judgment. What did he say to Eve? You shall not surely die. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. Just the opposite. It'll be good. You know he knows if you eat it, you'll be just like he is. He just wants it all for himself. There is no judgment. So, the Satanic Bible tells you there is no hell. Do anything you want. Aleister Crowley, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. If you want to do it, just do it. Hurt somebody else? Oh, well, it's the breaks of naval air. It's the way it goes. Is that true? Not according to God himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I will not come back and get a better shot at it. Satanic Bible, there is no hell. Jehovah's Witnesses, there is no hell. Mormons, there is no hell. The entire New Age movement, there is no hell. Hindus, there's no hell. Buddhists, there is no hell. Christianity, you will go to hell without Jesus Christ. It sounds rather mean when you put it like that, doesn't it? You know, we learn most of what we learn about hell from Jesus himself. So he believed in hell. Here's another one, if you'd like to talk a little bit more about reincarnation. Romans 14, verses 11 and 12. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I won't come back and work off the bad that I've done. I will give account of myself to God. There is only one way out of that, giving an account for my sins, and that way is to have the sins paid for before I leave here. And only God's Word provides a way to do that. Have you noticed that? Everybody else, when you fall in the quicksand and you're sinking, well, a Christian Scientist said, oh, don't worry, you're not in there, dude. But you're sinking. Some Far Easterners come along and say, well, that's your karma. It's your destiny. Whew. Working off bad karma. Another guy from around the corner, a little country next door, comes up and says, no problem, you'll have a better life when you get back. Probably won't even get into quicksand. Got a New Age person come along? Well, just think yourself out of it. Create your own reality. Just make it, just see it. Just see it, brother. See yourself standing there in the sun out of that quicksand. Only one religion on the entire earth, only one, whether you like it or not, says, if you give me your hand, I'll pull you out. Now think about that for a second. Jesus Christ says, I will save you. It makes sense to me. Reincarnation. No. All right, they have a belief that, and I'm sure you've heard this, that Jesus and the Christ are two separate entities. The Christ is an office rather than a person. The Christ consciousness comes upon an individual. The Christ consciousness leaves an individual. So the Christ is a consciousness. And so the Christ consciousness came upon Jesus. And he did some good stuff, miracles, a lot of neat things. Taught us some things to take us through another 2,000 years. And then when he hung on the cross, well, the Christ consciousness can't die, so the Christ consciousness left him. And now the Christ consciousness in 1982, we were told, has come upon another individual, and the Messiah is now, the Christ is now here again, going to take us through the next 2,000 years. What does God's Word say? Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. I'll read them to you. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. People just can't figure out who you are. He saith unto them, who say ye that I am? Now Simon Peter, who normally would open his mouth to exchange feet, in this particular case, said an amazing thing. I can insult Peter because I do the same thing. Open my mouth to exchange feet. Don't you? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, and that's the Christ, even in Greek, the Son of the living God. It's not just the Messiah, the Christ, but it's the Christ, the Son of the living God, God's only begotten Son. Do you see? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God has specifically shown you that. You're blessed, Simon, Peter. Is the Christ a separate office? No. The Christ and the only begotten Son of God are one. And flesh and blood didn't reveal that to Peter. And if you believe that, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you either. So blessed are you. Isn't that fun? Kind of fun to be blessed, I think. They have a belief in evolution. All you got to do is open your Bible, go to page 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. I've heard it said by many teachers, if you have trouble with the first 4 words of the Bible, you'll have trouble with the rest of the Bible. In the beginning, God. True? I know people that can't get past that. Evolution. Now, I have met some people in my life that I would say, yes, they came from monkeys. But that's because my heart's wrong and I'm being silly. Single cell amoeba? No. Now look at Isaiah 45:12. God himself specifically states it. How about this? I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. God is saying, I did this. I created the earth. I created man and put him on it. I did it. It didn't just happen accidentally. There was no big explosion that in space somehow accidentally. No, I did it on purpose. So sue me. Revelation 4:11. In heaven, people singing in the throne room of God Almighty Himself. They pull the curtains back, and for just a second, you get to look into heaven, and they're praising God. And what are they saying? Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The Bible, specifically, so far, in every issue that I've shown you as a major belief of the New Age, the Bible specifically says, not just no, but the very opposite of what they're teaching. Are you catching on? Spirit of truth and the spirit of error? They have a belief in the law of avatars. That means simply this. The Christ consciousness, every 2,000 years, overshadows a human being who has taken that quantum leap in evolution. Imparting to that, through that possessed individual, good word, possessed individual, new revelation to help all of mankind through the coming new age. In other words, about every 2,000 years, the Christ consciousness comes upon somebody, he gives us wisdom that's going to take us through the next 2,000 years, Christ consciousness leads that dude or dudette, whoever it is, and in a couple of thousand years, right before it's time to go into another new age, Christ consciousness comes back, gives us some more information to get us through the next 2,000 years. You are Pisceans. That's what the new agers call Christians, Pisceans, because it's the zodiac and it's the sign of the fish, and some Christians use that symbol. I'm sure you've seen it. So they say the Pisceans. Well, we're leaving the Piscean Age, and we're entering into the New Age. What is it called about the year 1999? We're supposed to see it. It's called the Age of Aquarius. Late 60s. Some of us that were like three. I was just joking. It's not a lie. It's just like a joke. Remember the fifth dimension? The dawning of the age of Aquarius. I was so busy running around the house singing it that I had no idea what I was saying. And it makes so much sense to me now that I've studied it myself. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planet and love will stir the stars and we're going to hold hands and buy the whole world a Coke. One big global Coke. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abound, no more falsehood or derision, mystic dreams of revelation and the mind's true liberation. You thought I couldn't do it, didn't you? And they explained to you in the song when the new age would take place and what it would be like. Every 2,000 years, the Christ consciousness comes upon an individual. Look at John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the, look, only begotten Son of God. No Christ consciousness is going to come upon an individual and take us anywhere. The only begotten Son of God is the only way to the Father, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Sound bigoted? Sound narrow-minded? I didn't write it. I only read it. It is time that you and I stop being so ashamed that we're born again. To stand up and to be a Christian. All the time. It takes power. Now, before I accepted the Lord, I thought only women and gay men were Christians. Because that was weak for men. It's because I was an idiot. I guess I still am. But I'm saved. And I've learned something. And so have you, if you want to be honest. It is difficult to be a Christian, and it takes guts, and it takes strength, and it takes strength I don't even have. And there are times in public when I know I got to make a stand, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, if you don't personally just step me, lift me out of this chair, I'm probably not going to get this done. I'm in a Taco Bell, my wife and my son and I. And there's guys over there that are high on something. And I'm not interested in what they're saying, but the entire Taco Bell population is hearing it. And something inside of me says, you're going to have to go over there and shut them up. And I go, but I knew in my heart. And I walked over to them. And I got, and there was four of those guys. And I got down real close to their table. And I said, guys, real quiet, shut up. See, I'm a Christian. And this is America, and I want you to have the freedom to say anything you want. Shut up. Keep it to you, because nobody here wants to hear this. Now, if you got to talk that way, go outside, somewhere away from us, okay? Now, I don't want any trouble, so shut up. And I walked away thinking, okay, they're going to shoot me in the back. They're going to shoot me in the back. I know they're going to, here comes. Now you think, boy, he's mean. I didn't say I handled it perfectly. I just said, it's time to stand up. You should have seen me. I had to go up to Northern California. This is great. And there were five men on the airplane who were really rude. And I had to tell them to shut up. Somebody had to tell them. There's a little lady next to me, little, you know, the little blue-haired old ladies. They're great. She is just so frustrated with them, and I'm thinking, Lord, and you know, you could see she's a Christian. You could just tell it. You know how they glow, like in the dark. I thought, this poor little old lady shouldn't have to put up with this, so I turn around and go, guys, come on, man. Why don't you, you know, it's cool. Just keep it to yourself. And I was up there to speak on I think we were doing Satanism or something like that. I can't remember. But the assistant pastor that picked me up, the five guys followed me. Just follow me. And I thought, oh boy. and he comes to me, he goes, God bless you, Bob, it's good to see you. I said, you see those guys standing right behind me? I think they're looking for you. He goes, what's up? I almost got the assistant pastor into an all-out brawl in the Sacramento airport. And you know what was neat? The lady came up in tears. And she said, I wanted to tell them to be quiet, but I just couldn't get the nerve. And you know what I told her? And this came out of me. And again, I thought, who said that? Man, you're going to get yourself. I said, ma'am, it's not your job. It's mine. You just relax. We'll take care of you. We'll do it. We're believers. We occupy until he comes. Now, I'm not suggesting you tell everybody to shut up everywhere you go. But you better have Nikes on or something that you can move. I am suggesting that maybe you and I stand up as believers and quit being so ashamed that he saved us. It's okay. And the false teachings that are going on are false. There's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. And you need to recognize the difference, and so do I. And then we need to stand up and say, hey, I'm a believer. We don't do that. Love you. And if that's the way you got to talk, could you please hold it down a little bit? Because my wife, really, she's not that interested in you. You know, in the things you're talking about. That freaks people out. You know what else freaks them out? Sure you do. You say, Jesus Christ in public. You ever try it? Go to a Walmart, dude, and go, Jesus. And man, it's like throwing a live snake on the counter. What did that guy say? I'm not repeating it. I'm just not. You get out of here, sir. I just said, Jesus. You can say Buddha. You can say Satan. You can say anything you want. You say Jesus and people are freaked. They're ready to get the Guinness Book of Records on the phone or the ACLU or some of those letters on the phone. Men, it's a weird feeling when the women have to do it, isn't it? It's like a slap in my face when I have to see them do that. I know Jesus would take care of his. I know he would. It's time. It's time to to just say, we love you. I'm a Christian. And I'm just not ashamed of that anymore. I'm saved. By grace, through faith. I didn't buy it. I didn't earn it. I'll never be smart enough to keep it. It's a gift, and I got it. Jesus Christ lives in my life, and I'm not ashamed of that anymore. And I think we ought to just stand on the rooftops and tell people. Have you ever shared with somebody something about the Bible? Let me quickly go through this. Many people believe everybody has God within. Many people believe man is divine, a little God. Many people believe in reincarnation. Many people believe that Jesus and the Christ are two separate things. In other words, the Christ is an office. Many people believe in evolution. Many people believe the Christ consciousness comes upon an individual every 2,000 years or so. God's Word, hopefully I've shown you, says just the opposite of each one of those. Just the opposite. And it's been your experience, I'm almost sure, that you have shared the Word of God with someone, and they have said to you, don't preach to me. Has that ever happened to you? You say to the guys that are using the bad language, hey man, God loves you. And you need to understand something. In Matthew chapter 12, we're told you'll answer for every word you speak. You want to think about what you're saying, man. Hey, don't preach to me. Isn't that interesting? I was just telling you what God said, and it was like a knife. Do you know why that is? I think it's because the Word of God is as like a sharp, two-edged sword. Surgery is just not that comfortable. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way. Hey, don't shove that down my throat. You notice how when you use the Word of God as an offensive move toward the gates of hell, people recognize that you are attacking, no matter how nicely you say it. Haven't you ever wondered why? It's because spiritual warfare is warfare. You are taking it to the streets, out there, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I doubt that they're going to bring the gates of hell to you. What are you going to have to do? I think you have to go out, take them out. I have to wind down. Oh, till midnight? Oh, just joking. The next time we get together, what I'd like to show you is the plan that they have. I've got the plan. I've got it broken down for you, a simple plan. You'll find it in all their writings. And don't trust me. Check it out if you like. Not only the plan broken down, but I'd like to show you what they think of true believers. I have some information. I'd like to show you that. I'd like you to understand where this movement is coming from, how it's working, and where the plan is headed. We will see, maybe you and I won't, the Lord comes back for His church, but the world will see a one world government. Right now, and people don't like this when I say it, but I'll say it anyway. You live in the occupied states of America. You, if you are a believer, and I, are being literally legislated out of existence. And that is the plan. Is it possible that it could happen? It's up to God. God can do anything He wants. But I'm telling you, should He let it go, it will happen soon. If He sticks His hand there and says no, okay, He'll slow it up for as long as He wants. I don't know what He's going to do, but I'll tell you this. We will have a one world government. Revelation chapter 13. You can find a one world government with a leader of their choice, a one world economy, and a one world religion. Christianity will not fit in any of that. It's time to commit to God. It's time to live your life as a light. You say, I'm a lousy Christian. I'm the bottom of the barrel. At least you're in the barrel. Praise God that you're there at the bottom of the barrel. Look at the bright side. You belong to Him. You're all right. He loves you. You say, I'm the worst that there is. I know. Me and you. But you know what? He'll use you. He will use you. Right where you work, right where you go to school, right where you live, He will use you. He promised it. He began the work in me. He began the work in you. Philippians chapter 1. And He is faithful to complete it. I don't know where you are at tonight in your heart, but I want you to be okay. Commit your life to Him. You say, I already have. Well, good, then do it again. And any part that was held out, held back, parts that you thought, I can't, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not enough of anything. You're right, great. You're in a perfect position to say, okay, Lord, from now on. Because it's dark in this country and it's time to light it up again. It's time to be, you know, we'll let Satan it out. And I'm going to let it shine. I don't mind making a fool of myself. God started it. I'll just finish it off. I don't mind. I'll walk out of here loving you. And you'll be thinking, that guy is a mess. I don't mind. If you're okay, that's fine with me. If you're committed to God and you are full on for Him, that's what God wants. That's just great. That's exactly right. He'll bless you just as He has been. Give your life over. Understand there's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. Get into the Word of God and stay there and don't come back out. Anytime you get a chance to get together with other believers, get with them. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Stick together. Love each other. Find out what God's Word has to say. Then ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to live it. So you'll be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. And then share that with others. Lord, this sometimes can be so hard. Lord, we know that we don't understand half of what goes on around us, and Lord, we don't claim to be anything special. We do praise You for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your loving kindness, which turns out to be so much better than life. Lord, to do the things You've called us to do, that's all we want. We're not very good at it. Lord, our minds sometimes can't grasp it. And then we try to put it in the words and that doesn't come out right. And people look at us like we've come from another world. But Lord, You know our hearts, even when we don't. And we just want to follow. I pray for these Your people. I lift them up to You. I know You love them so much. I know You want to use them. You're blessing them. Lord, I know there are hearts right now crying out to You. Here am I. Send me. Use me. Set a fire in these hearts, Lord, that nothing will put out. Nothing. Take care of them, Lord. Defend them. Protect them. Bless them, Lord. Keep them and make Your face to shine upon them. And be gracious unto them, Lord. And sincerely, we pray, give them peace. We thank You, we trust You, and Lord, we want to continue to listen to You. In Jesus' name, amen.